Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the full experience that you give us as we live. We pray for those who hurt to receive comfort, and we pray for those lost souls to find Jesus. In whose name we pray, amen. So many of us do have fullness of life and bountiful blessings, and I am thankful for all that I have. Just now, I chuckled to myself because I was thinking of toilet paper. Yesterday, I went to 4 stores and found the shelves were empty of toilet paper. The 5th store had only 10 packages, and it was not the kind I normally buy. But that was my only choice. Of course, I bought a package. I thought back to a week after the toilet paper shortage started. All the shelves were empty, and the major toilet paper manufacturers said they would ramp up production, and in a week, the shortages would be over. But silly me, I believed them. Should I have? Who should we believe anyway? Throughout life, we do have to figure out who to believe and who to not believe. And I was raised by a dad who believed, your word is your bond. And if you said you would do it, and even if it costs you a lot, you would do it. Oh my, things have changed. Today, yes, they have, haven't they? It seems like today people keep their promises if it benefits them. And if it no longer benefits them, then they change their mind. So what is someone's word worth today anyway? What is that promise worth? I think the human standards have changed over time. And then I think about what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 19:9 says, he who speaks lies shall perish. And then the New Testament, there's John 8:44, and a part of it includes that the devil speaks lies. In Revelation 21:8, it names sins, and then it says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We can see lying is not good. I must also speak about the 9th commandment that says, thou shalt not bear false witness. I've heard it said that that is about testifying in court, but I think not. Now there are some attorneys who would argue the meaning of what words are, and they would use that to try to justify actions based on some obscure meanings. I hope it's obvious to you that a lie is a lie, and we do not want a lie. A lie certainly has consequences. And lately, we have heard that some people lie or some governments lie. We've heard that, the United States government said that the coronavirus came from China. And we have heard the Chinese government say that the coronavirus came from the United States. Kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Well, I don't believe the Chinese government, but I seem to find out that there's little bits of truth here and there to all sorts of things. So is there a little truth in what they say? You know, if you listen to some people, they will tell you that there's a trail that leads to the United States from Wuhan to the United States science research groups, who provided research and money to the Wuhan Bio Research Lab, where the coronavirus was presumably developed. And maybe they had some government funding from the U.S. government. So where does the truth lie? Anyway, where is the truth? It sure seems like governments lie. The Chinese government does. The Russian government does. And maybe even our own U.S. government lies. A little bit, anyway. It depends on your perspective. If you talk to American Indians, some have some thoughts about the treaty promises that our government made. And if you talk to people who have a black heritage, they have thoughts about the Tuskegee study on syphilis. If you talk to Vietnam veterans, they have thoughts about Agent Orange in Vietnam. And the Gulf War vets, they have questions about squalene that was put into at least one vaccine they received for anthrax. Squalene is an adjuvant, which means it makes a reaction inside of a body, our bodies. And squalene is derived from shark livers, and it has been used as an ingredient in millions, like 20 million vaccines given in the U.S. and Europe. So, what about squalene, or what about any of these things? We can make a point that there's lots of things that are said, and we can make a point that there are lies, even that our governments lie. And I think the point that we can personally learn is that when lies are said, there are always consequences to lying. And really, lying is breaking God's moral law. And eventually, God gives us consequences in the form of judgment. So, lying is something we really want to avoid. There's a lot of things that have consequences that are judgments. And if you remember the true story of Jonah, who did not want to go to preach to Nineveh, like God told him to do, well, he got swallowed by a big fish, presumably a whale, before he was persuaded to go to preach to Nineveh. So that time inside of that great fish persuaded Jonah to go to Nineveh. He repented and he turned from his going a different direction than from what God told him. Well, God let the people of Nineveh live for a few decades longer because they repented and they turned from their old ways. That's a lesson. And God allowed Nineveh to be destroyed after a time because the Ninevites went back to their old ways. That's a lesson for us. By the way, the remains of Nineveh are located near the present-day city of Mosul in Iraq. Well, we look at Jonah and why he did not want the Ninevite Assyrians to be saved from their destruction. And that was because of what they had done to the Hebrew people. The Assyrians did have war with Israel, and they did conquer Israel. And Jonathan Kahn records some of this history about what Assyria did to Israel. And here's an example. Their Assyrian king, Ashurnezshirpal II, after conquering a city, he wanted to discourage rebellion. So he made examples of anybody who would be rebellious in a conquered city. And at that city's gate, he would flay any chiefs that had been against him. And he would cover the pillar in their skins. And he would impale some upon stakes, and he would cut off the limbs of others. So you see, the Assyrians were hated because of their brutality and what they did to the Hebrew people. So you can understand that Jonah was really pretty set against them. He knew about their cruelty and their violence, and he wanted them to be judged, not spared. But God is gracious, and we can be grateful for God's mercy to us, the USA. Yes, we have done some very, very good things in the world. Really, really good. But we have also done some evil things, as God defines evil. As a nation, we have sinned against God's moral law, and we have done what God opposes. We've even made that legal. And we can only guess what the consequences will be. One big issue that I see in the United States has been the killing of almost 70 million babies by legal abortion. We can all argue about the number, but the number is great. And at some point, there is a pattern that we will have consequences for what we have done. That consequences can be called judgment. Well, we pray for mercy. We pray that we turn from our sin, this one and others, and that God will delay or put off his judgment and consequences. I think of 1 Peter 1:16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So I think of that. I think of, isn't that the way we want to be? So please, at least think about the consequences of our unholiness. And I just know that we want to be very thankful for all the blessings we have also. Thankful to Jesus Christ. I'm thankful personally that I can be forgiven of my personal sins. And now I want to do my very best for Jesus. But I mess up sometime to one degree or another. And the point is, I really want to live a life pleasing to God, Jesus. God, through Jesus Christ, has saved me from the horrors of hell, and I am thankful. And I want to demonstrate my thankfulness by how I live. And he tells us how to live. It's in the Bible. God does want us to be obedient. Obedient is another way of saying God wants us to do his will. And there are just too many passages in the Bible which tell us to do the will of God. How do I even pick a few? But let's start with Deuteronomy 28:2. And it tells us that blessings come to you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. 1 John 5:3. That It is the love of God that we keep his commandments. John 15:14. You are my friends if you do what I command. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is thy whole duty of man. John 14:21. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. There's so many passages to quote. I just am impressed with a few of them. And I want to do God's will. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you want to guess what God's will is? Or do you want to know what God's will is? You can read it. Read the Bible. I think that we all have favorite passages, and we seem to remember them the best. I seem to remember Matthew 22:37-39. To love God, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Mark says it too in a similar way, Mark 12:29-31, and Luke says it also in Luke 10:27. The Bible has so much in it. I like to look for biblical themes, and I just mentioned to love God and to love your neighbor. And doing that is the will of God. I know I used to talk about or think about obeying God. What is God's will? And if you put obey and God loving together, it gets to be pretty clear what the will of God is, with love and obedience, and then you get to do it. The Bible says that judgments are for that is, there are some things that the government decrees, and they have authority that people do not. So the state or the government does make judgments, does make laws, and they do have consequences. That's how I understand Romans 13:4. Now, there's plenty of people who see things one way or another. But if you study things, you'll get a better understanding. So remember that about our government. We have a participatory government. We are allowed and encouraged to participate in our government. And so you can do that. You don't have to just complain about what the government did or what the police did. You have a voice and you can say something. That's a wonderful thing about our form of government in America. It's a beautiful, wonderful country. Well, there's a lot of things that we can seek to have understanding about. Often they are written in the Bible, and it's always a good thing to get that as your basis of understanding. And I do have favorite topics. That was one of them, about Matthew and the Great Commandment. Another one of my favorite topics is about the economy. And that is partially about currency, as we might call it, dollars. So the Bible talks about money. Currency, oil, money. And Jesus spoke about money just plenty. So I think it's a subject that we can really jump right into. Historically, there is a theme that often repeats, and I think that is good for us to look at, to try to understand what is coming. So when we look at money, we can see how money accumulates and how money is dispersed or spent. They're patterns. And there are patterns to currency. Now, money is something that has value. Currency is pieces of paper that are printed, and it is designed to represent something of value, like silver or gold. So, currency has a pattern also in history. And the pattern is inflation. It eventually becomes worthless. And currency ruins countries' economies. And that is a historical pattern. Will it happen in the United States of America? Well, why are we so different? I just looked at the paper days ago. And I looked at what was happening in Iran. Again, this is just days ago, not even a week. In Iran, they have cut 4 zeros off of each banknote. Banknote, which is currency. Because over the years, Iran has been dealing with inflation and a falling value of its printed currency. And now it has reached a point to where they have to take drastic measures. And they are cutting off 4 zeros off of their banknotes. Kind of unbelievable. They cut off 4 zeros off of their banknotes. And they are creating a new banknote called the Tomane. Now, 10,000 reals, which is their old banknote, equals 1 Tomane. So that's what happens in a country where things get out of hand. The money gets inflated, and it causes the whole country to have instability. Yes, with its money. Yes, with its economy. And yes, with its society. So it's something that we really want to be aware of for our country. Now, Iran has nurtured this kind of a situation since 1971, and that was at the time of their revolution when they switched from a king to having Muslim rulers. Since 1971, the Iranian currency has been devalued over 3,000 times. Oh my, you know how tough that is on a country's economy and their stability. Well, since 1971, it's almost 50 years there, over 3,000 times their currency has been devalued. Now, we are nothing like Iran, but still, we have a principle. It's the principle of money and how money works, how currency works, how our nation and our economy works. And we are on a dangerous path with the inflation that's going on in our country. Now, there's only so much we can do, but we really want to be aware of everything that's going on so that when we have an opportunity to do something or to say something, we can. Something to protect our own little area of security. Since September of 2019, our Federal Reserve has drastically been increasing the number of dollars that are available. They've done this by lending major banks so very much money. The Federal Reserve calls it their repo market, and it has to do with repositioning the dollars that go around in the economy. Well, since September of 2019, the Federal Reserve has literally produced hundreds of billions of dollars into the economy because they make it available at one point and it goes to other points. So some of it is loans, some of it is gifts, some of it is providing our federal government with money to fund its national debt. So I kind of think of whatever the reason, hundreds of billions of dollars have been created in less than a year, like in 6 months, like in the last few months. And what does that do? It creates inflation. But it's not just inflation. It is on the edge of hyperinflation. That is something that is so destabilizing to any country that we really have to give it a fair amount of thought as to how we can protect our own little area from the devastation that hyperinflation causes. If there was one answer, we would know it. But I don't think there is one answer. I think what we have to do is look at the example of hyperinflation and what does happen. With our Federal Reserve, well, they call it money printing, but it's not really money printing. It's that which is money printing, which is currency, which is the $100 bills that are going around. Those are something like one-fifth of our economy. You don't have a real accounting of where the money is. So it's pretty hard to say what things really are, where the money is, and also to account for it. It's so incredibly hard. So all we can really do is look at what the big picture is and try to make sense of it. We need to look at our system, try to understand it, and see what it is wise for us to do. You know, I always seem to say that what we need to do is to eliminate our debt and have a savings in whatever form that savings is in. So, our system, we will always have dollars. We will always need dollars because dollars are needed to pay our taxes. So somehow, we are always going to need dollars. It's just a fact of the system we are in. But we can look at non-standard assets, things that will do us good to have, like things that we are always going to buy. Those are just what we use. What do we use? Get a supply of them. If you know what kind of shoes or clothes that you like, get a little supply of them. Or food, if you know what kind of food you like, get a supply of that. And I think of the non-standard assets like silver and gold and tools and, of course, storable food. Now, storable food is a subject I seem to come back to, and at the end of the broadcast I will talk about how to get my free preparedness brochure or pamphlet, because I think about those kind of things. Well, just let's go back to the last few months. The dollar printing has accelerated so very much. The government has needed to spend, well, hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars to help the people who are in need? Yes, we have spent that money. We have spent that money because of helping corporations to not go broke is a big part of it. About an equal portion is to spend money on the $1,200 to each person. So the trillions of dollars are getting spent. And with that much spending, well, our government is getting further and further into debt. And that is causing a big problem. Another part of the problem now is with this present virus. We are shutting down our economy. Our economy is not creating dollars. And that is making the problem so much more serious. We don't have enough money to fix things. Remember, the government does not have money. The money the government spends, they get from you and me. And sometimes it's by taxes. And sometimes it's by taxing the large corporations. And then our corporations, they charge us more for whatever it is we buy from them. So, if we pay through taxes or if we pay the corporations for their products, it still is coming right out of the dollars that we earn. So we pay for all these things that the government pays for. Remember that. It's not free. It costs us. Every bit of money that the government spends costs you and me money. Not only us, it's now coming from our children and grandchildren by the national debt that we are creating. So be aware of that. I do want to return to what is going on around us. The economic situation is changing rapidly, and we don't know where it will settle or what it will settle into. We just don't know. Oh, here's an example of a rapid change. You know, there's the investment company manager, Warren Buffett. He's kind of well known in the investment circles. And he manages billions of dollars, many billions, for a lot of well-off people. He buys and sells companies, or he invests in companies for his investment fund. So he knows a lot of things that are going on, and I'm using him as an example because 2.5 months ago, during a widely aired interview, he said all of his airline stocks were good, and he was holding on to them, all of them. That was his comment about airline stocks. And a week ago, Warren Buffett said that his company had sold every bit of their airline stocks. So this is an example of how quickly things can change in the financial world, in the world around us. In our own little world, things change, and they can change drastically. They can change quickly. And that's a part of where our thinking has to include. I think of that example I gave about the toilet paper being available or unavailable. And I think it's an example. When you look on that level, we can all understand when something as simple as toilet paper is available or not. And we can kind of grasp the concept of what happens when money is available or not, when dollar bills are available or not. And we look back in history and we see the examples, example after example, of changing circumstance. and how in the public there have always been shortages of one thing or another. And, well, I'll go back to this example in World War II, or just plain in war. In war, things change. Things change sometimes drastically and sometimes quickly and drastically. Well, of course it does, because war is a life and death situation. Often for us, or if not us, for our family members and people we know. Yes, sacrifices. It involves sacrifice, and so we have to be considerate of what happens. I think back to World War II. I was not alive at World War II, but I've had friends and family who were. And I think about the scarcity that many of my friends and family went through, how citizens were issued ration coupons for sugar and coffee, for meat, for gasoline, and for more than that, too. A friend of mine, when he was a young man at the time World War II started, he and his family, they were all farmers. And a week before the war was declared, he bought a new set of tires for his car. And days after the World War II was declared, the Department of War came to his house and said his tires were needed for the war effort. And they took the tires off and left his car there without tires. They gave him a receipt for the tires, but his car now had no tires. Quite a story. In the 30 years that I knew that man, I never knew him to exaggerate a story. So I believed it happened the way he told me. In war, desperate measures were taken because losing a war leaves people desperate. And I think of several famous generals who've said war is hell. I think of the Civil War general, Sherman. He's known for saying that. And there are others in military leadership who have said just about the same thing. Winning a war often justifies bad behavior, or changing our laws even. And we must be very cautious about giving up any rights that we have when there is such a great time of need, like a war. Be very cautious, because Americans have died to gain the rights that we now enjoy. Those wonderful rights. Well, the freedoms that we enjoy did not come cheap, as we fought to keep the freedoms that we got from God, not from man and not from government. We got them from God. They are principles that are spelled out in the Bible, but we still have to hold tightly onto them. And for that, there are many of our family, many of our people in history who have fought and died for the sake of keeping those freedoms. And so we want to hold them as precious to us. And we want to realize that if we don't have them, it changes our life so terrifically. We don't want the consequences of living without God's law. I think of Billy Graham and his family. Before Billy Graham passed, he and his family, a couple of people in his family, said, oh, these are pretty close to the words, not exactly, but here it is. If God does not judge America, God is going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. After saying those words, I must pray, Heavenly Father, I do not mean that as a statement to or about you. Heavenly Father, I said it only as an example of what the heart of some people say. And now, any listener, I want you to know that I never want to put myself in a position of saying what God has to or ought to do, but I use that as an example of what has been said and what some people think. So, we are in a sinful and fallen state. That's humanity. That's mankind. And it is America also. It's just that other nations have even more fallenness. But see, in America, we have made legal what God has said not to do. And there are several things. You can take your pick of what you are concerned with and what you would like to pray about. Pray about compassionate action being taken about those things. For instance, if you are concerned about the abortion industry and the number of abortions that are taking place, yes, in the United States and yes, in the world, maybe you can send some money to an adoption agency or to people who have adopted or to a church or organization that supports adopted families. And I hope you do not take any action, any force into your own hands. I think that we Christians are not called to act like that. We are called upon to act out of love and not by force. The state and our government, they get to act with force, but not the people, not Christians. Now, our state, our government, has made decisions and laws, and they will have consequences. If God's laws are broken, God will judge, and God will make the consequences. Sometimes we have natural disasters that have hit our nation after legal decisions have been made. Well, that's God's territory. I don't mean to say anything about that except to observe that things can happen like that. And we could have even more earthquakes or volcanoes or those natural disasters happen. They could be a coronal mass ejection from the sun even, just like happened with the Carrington effect in 1859. So we think of the natural disasters happening and the effect on all of us. Yeah, and there are volcanoes going off now, and there's one that just erupted, Popocatépetl at Mexico City. The news said it exploded with a half-mile-high plume of ash, and I don't really know what that means. It just means earthquakes and volcanoes are active still, and they can affect people. They could affect Mexico City. That volcano is just so close to Mexico City. Everybody in Mexico City sees it and feels it. Well, anyway, volcanoes get my attention. Earthquakes get my attention. I think it's because I've been in a few of them. And I've seen the results of earthquakes, and they are big. Here in the United States, the scientists, geologists have been warning us that we could have them at any time. Earthquakes, especially. Yeah, they get my attention, and I think back to the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake in the Bay Area, where more or less a 7.0 hit that area. I felt it really good. It lasted about 25 seconds. I remember thinking, oh, if this doesn't stop soon, we're going to be in trouble. And that was really less than 25 seconds. Now, we have a Cascadia fault subduction zone off the coast of Northern California. And that goes off every so many hundred years. Some people see that it's due any time. Well, that one is often forecast at being a 9.3 on the Richter scale. And that would mean having 4.5 to 5 minutes of shaking. 4.5 to 5 minutes of shaking. I just can hardly comprehend that. It's just too much. And the violence and force that it would have would be just remarkable. So, that's just another reason that I see to have your preparedness supplies, just in case we really get shaken up. If that would happen, we can only guess at the devastation. To have roads closed and no electricity, and, oh, it would be so serious for well beyond Northern California, but Northern California as well. All over this nation of ours, we have the possibility of natural disasters, and they could cause an unknown degree of turbulence and shortages. And with the financial situation going on, it could certainly make for big inflation, bigger than we've ever known. So I just want to shout, prepare, prepare, prepare. Yes, for an eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven and not that other place without Jesus, but prepare for all the things that could happen in this life. Prepare for how you can be a blessing with other people, for other people. And you know what that means. To bless other people, you have to have something to share. If you have nothing to share, how are you going to be a blessing? Your blessing can be simple. I mean, just think of water. Water is a basic necessity of life. Yeah. Think of Matthew 10:42, where it says giving a glass of water, cold water, is a blessing. So, yes, I know there's a fuller meaning to that, but I'm just trying to bring up the plain and simple action of giving a cup of cold water. So, how would you be able to give a cup of cold water in a time of, difficulty? Well, first you would have to have a glass of clean water to give someone, and that might not be water out of your faucet. You know that with natural disasters, emergency situations, the water that comes out of your faucet is not considered clean. So you really ought to have a way to clean your water. I like the passive water systems, where you put a bucket of water in at night and the next morning you have a bucket of clean water. Or you put a bucket of water in at breakfast and at lunchtime you have a bucket of clean water. I like that simple way of doing it so that you don't have to suck your water through a straw or boil it on the stove, which would use your fuel. So, your electricity might not work. Don't forget that one. Your gas might not work. So, I like the idea of having a passive clean water drip supply system. I have one, and it is so reassuring to have. I hope that everyone has a system like that. You know what I so often think about is to have water, food, and warmth for just in case. And I know that with the shutdowns that are going on with this virus, or that have gone on, you just can see how quickly something can happen that you didn't guess would happen. And that just is another reason to be prepared for the just in case. Well, I would say that there's a few more things to get, definitely. Definitely, there's lots of things. But everyone has their own ideas, and you just get to think of what they are. Of course, the basics to me are include a flashlight and batteries. That reminds me. Oh, when we had the problem with the virus, I thought, oh, well, what if this is a real situation and we have to get our things together for the electricity going out or something? So I thought, well, what do I need? And I thought of batteries, and I thought of chocolate, and I thought of cheese. Yeah, the chocolate and cheese would be getting used up pretty quick. But the batteries, I realized that there were still a few things that I, who get prepared, still would like to get a few more things about those extra supplies. So I think that you can think about the same thing. To get a few more supplies and a few more things before you have to rely on turning your whole wheat into bread, what do you need? Bread, sugar, salt, oil, maybe vitamins. That's just the ever so plain and basic. We all have scenarios, and we all get to think what our concerns are. And a part of living through a tough time is, yes, to have food, and also to get the calories that we need. Don't forget that. That's why I think sugar is such an important part, because sugar is calories. And, you know, you probably would not have the same cravings today as if there was an emergency. But if there was an emergency and we didn't have a power, you would be looking for things that were high in calories, like peanut butter, like sugar, like olive oil. And just think, you might even like the unlikable foods like sardines with oil. Who knows? But hunger could change a person's eating habits, oh, so dramatically. Yes, they can. So think about that. Think about getting some food for that just in case to put into your long-term stockpile. Think of calories. Think of flavors. Think of what it takes to keep food interesting. And of course, we are all concerned about not spending too much money, so that's always a factor. I'll tell you my preparedness brochure in a minute. But think of the foods that you want to have on hand that will last and last and last. And only you can answer the question of what they should be. And only you can answer the question of how much all of it will cost. You have to figure out how to store these things. Will it be in those white 5-gallon plastic pails, or will it be in a 55-gallon drum? It's just questions each one of us have to answer for ourselves as you pray. Hey, maybe you could pray and fast over that question. And that would be an extra bonus if you prayed and fast. Yes, because God seems to honor a righteous fast, but something else. when you fast, you do often get an answer, but to go without food gives you another realization, and that is what it is like to go without food and how you really do want to have food on hand that your body needs. So yes, I encourage you to go on a fast, to pray, and to consider all these things. Yes, the fast for the relationship that you have with God, Jesus, and also for what it will do for your understanding of what it's like to go without food. You don't want to go without food, so think of how to build up your supplies of all sorts of things. There's no answer to what you have as extra. What happens when the stores close? You might not be able to get your toothbrush and toothpaste and dental floss. And of course, you won't be able to get your foods. You're the one to answer these questions, and the only way you can do it is to think about it. I say write it down. Write down what your thoughts are. Write it down on a list and check off the things so that you don't get too many of one thing that keeps reoccurring in your mind. Write it down. Look at it. Check off the items. And while you're doing it, look at what you expect to spend. The costs can be very simple, very inexpensive if you just get the basics, the very most basic things. And then you can add to it over time and get the things that you like or the things that add flavor. It's just a matter of decision. So decide. Think of something. And then so that you have a perspective on what it is you'd like to do, yes, write me for my preparedness pamphlet. And remember, you can listen to past broadcasts of any Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. And for my free preparedness pamphlet, would you please send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Desperately seek.